Hi, and welcome back to the Vancouver Actors Podcast. I'm your co-host, Michael Coleman.
And I'm your other co-host, Sydney Quinnell.
Once again, we would like to give a big shout out to our sponsor, WeAudition.com. In a world of self-tapes, it's nice to know that there is a resource out to assist us all in everything we do with professional readers and assistants in all of the different online self-taping opportunities we have. Once again, you can use the promotional code VancouverActors to get 25% off. And for those of you interested in perhaps working with WeAudition.com in a professional capacity, you're also welcome to let them know of your reading services and make yourself available as a professional reader.
Yeah, keep it safe and keep it professional.
Yeah.
We'd also like to make a shout out that today is the Trans Day of Visibility. So if you have any trans friends in your life, give them a shout out, check in with them, see how they're doing, because news has been crazy lately.
Yeah, and it's important that we all work together and that we create the inclusive, respectful work environment we all want to be a part of. So today is a big day to give some love and shouts out to them in particular. And
buy them a coffee. Do something nice.
Yeah.
All right. So today our topic is a work-life balance and the importance of it in a career like this.
Yeah. This came about as we were talking a little bit about, you know, this is an interesting career because we all become so passionate about it. It can sometimes feel all-consuming, and we can often find ourselves setting benchmarks for our happiness, like booking certain roles or signing with the right agent or doing this thing. And then we get consumed and we dwell on certain things. It's very easy to do, and it's totally quite common.
And I think that in acting, there's so many different levels of actors in the way of there's people that are really green and fresh.
Right.
That are just like, I'm going to be seen in my mall and I'm going to be a famous actor. I'm going to be in Marvel movies. And then there's the other level that's like, oh, I am never going to take it seriously enough to actually take a program, but I'm going to take classes every single day of random workshops, and I'm going to be posting all about the grind every single day on Instagram. And if you're not in a class, then you're wasting your time. That's a whole nother section of actors.
For sure. I also find, you know, it can be really easy for us too to get, FOMO is a big thing for people in this industry. And, you know, there's a lot of people that want to make sure they're involved in every single one of the different networking opportunities or short film festivals, or there's just a lot of things that it's really easy to get caught up in. And if you're not a part of that community or that culture or that situation, you might feel like you're missing out on something.
And we don't have the type of job where you go to work and you go to work at 9 a.m. So you probably had like a couple hours in the morning to have your coffee, and then you go to work, you sit at a desk for until 5 o'clock, then you go home and you hang out and curl up with a movie. We don't get to do that.
No, and it's there's a lot of hurry up and wait, and there's I think a lot of us often feel like we're ready for the thing that's going to inevitably happen long before it does happen. I know, I would say probably my entire career, I always feel like, you know, I feel like I've hit many of the benchmarks I hoped to hit, but I always feel like they came about 5 years after I thought they would hit. And I think it's a really common thing. And it took me a long time to realize that, to just really sit in the journey and enjoy the process, and to enjoy the other things outside of just the craft of acting. If we were to summarize what we do, my favorite way to explain it is the behaving truthfully under imaginary circumstances, or just recreating the human experience on command. I like that way of explaining what we do. And the more I reflect on that, the more it makes me really want to just go have a bunch of human experiences so that I can reflect it in my work.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was talking to a student I coached this morning about how they were nervous because they just missed the cutoff for auditioning for fine art schools in Vancouver.
Right.
And I told them that I feel bad saying this because I do think there's a lot of purpose for fine arts high schools. But at the same time, if you're going to be spending the rest of your waking life doing acting and training acting and being on set, maybe go to a regular high school. Enjoy some life things. Have some friends that aren't in TV. Have some friends that you can just chill out with, and it's fine. I think that you can't show life realistically on TV unless you've lived somewhat of a life.
No, I agree. I've been doing this long enough where I've got a lot of friends that are actor friends, and very rarely do we get together and talk about auditions or anything with regards. We talk about politics and social issues and what our kids are doing and where we see the world going and all the different scientific advancements in the world or the pandemic or like, it's just, we talk mm-hmm. about real human things. And I find the more and more I'm in this industry, the less I want to just be focused about talking about the industry 24/7. And I want to focus more on talking about stories and real life and the real world. Mm-hmm. And, I've read most of the different screenwriting and acting books out there, and I've learned a lot from them. But I would say I've probably learned more from books that aren't about acting, and there are books about totally. The human experience and self-discovery, self-empowerment, self-awareness, and things like that. And maybe we'll throw out a few of our favorite books today sometime throughout this podcast, just to give you an idea of some of the different things that have inspired us.
Yeah, so some of my favorite books for acting, I'm trying to word this in a way, because technically they are acting books, but they're not acting books.
Sure.
Like there's a lot of books that I really love about improv, like Impro from Keith Johnstone.
Yeah.
Really great book, mostly about just play and wonder. And I find that is really important for acting, because without being able to play and imagine, then you can't act either.
Yeah.
And I think that even the book, The Intent to Live, Larry Moss, if you don't know that one, a lot of it actually does talk about living life
and yeah.
the intent to be alive rather than acting.
And excellent books. I also like books like Super Freakonomics, and mm-hmm. I like books like Viktor E. Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, or right now I'm reading Glennon Doyle's Untamed. And there's just so many different books that are not really about acting so much, but about the human experience and who we are, why we are, what makes us tick, and what helps us grow, and what makes us see the world differently. And I feel as storytellers, I get a tremendous amount of value out of understanding this thing we're experiencing, reading different books that aren't really about, well, what do you want from your scene partner and that sort
totally.
Of stuff.
Totally. Yeah, I realize that what I'm reading right now is kind of a bit convoluted, because I'm reading a lot of grief books. I'm not grieving right now, but I'm reading a lot of grief books in the way of people writing about a traumatic event that happened and right. like their perspective of it. I just went through a lot of different mass shooting victims' parents' books, and I sure. thought that is a really core deep dive in human emotion and yeah. how humans respond to intense emotions. I was talking about that again in my coaching today, about how she kept saying in this scene, this guy is really angry. And I was like, well, is he angry? Because angry is just a reactionary emotion. So why is he reacting that way? What is he actually feeling? He's hurt, mm-hmm. he's betrayed, which sure. is coming off as anger. And I yeah. think that by reading books like that, you kind of see more of what's underneath the layers.
Yeah. So, I know right now, especially, maybe we'll speak to some of the parents of some of the younger actors out there. And I think, we've mentioned this on other podcasts. One of the most difficult parts of this industry isn't trying to find the answers. It's trying to find the right questions. So there's often questions about what classes should I take and what things should I learn? Should I learn special skills? My advice is worry less about what specific skill you're going to learn or what class you're going to learn, and just learn more about the human experience and let your kids have fun and be confident. It's not about being outgoing. It's not about being able to smile or cry on cue. It's, it's about self-awareness, self-empowerment. It's about understanding the human condition and being okay in their own skin.
Yeah. Like, I've seen a lot of people be like, oh, that'd be good on my resume. And then they don't even they're not even really there when they're there. They're just taking a certain class so it looks better on their resume, instead of doing something for the experience. It's all about how will this look on my actor's access at the end of the day. When in reality, like, take a diving class because you want to try it once, not because you're like, oh, there's a diving movie filming here. Like, just
yeah,
learn how to dive for funsies.
That's exactly it. My advice, whether you're a kid or an adult, like, learn things because it interests you. Do things because it brings you joy. And I do think that there's incredible value and everybody should be training. We should all be learning. And, you know, you're either going forwards or you're going backwards. There's no such thing as just sitting there idle. So if you're not moving forward, then be aware that you're moving backwards. But find something. Don't look to just put the right resume credit. Don't like look for the right, I need this school or this teacher or this discipline or this thing or my, I should know how to do jujitsu or something. Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry about that. Learn how to serve the story. Learn how human beings interact.
I hear a lot because of my acrobatics, a lot of times people are like, oh, you should take more martial arts courses. I'm like, well, I know how to do stage combat and it doesn't really interest me to learn martial arts because martial arts is such a discipline that you need to spend so much time doing it.
Right.
And I don't have time. Sounds fun. Took karate when I was in grade 4 for a hot minute. It's okay. I can learn choreography though. And so like, there's a lot of people telling me like, oh, you should take this. You should take this. When in reality, like, shout out to my grandma. Growing up, I was in everything. Like, I never had a moment of like solidarity at home.
Right.
I was in a class every single day of swimming, gymnastics, cheerleading,
sure,
dance, circus, like everything.
Well, it's even like my kids right now, they've both dabbled in some of the acting as well. But, you know, my oldest daughter, she's really big into not just video games, but how they work. So she's in coding school. She's learning how to make video games. And my, you know, youngest one is learning how to play baseball, and they both like dancing and they both like art. And there's just a million and one different things. And more importantly than us showing them how to smile and memorize words, even though dad works in the industry, we found that there's much more value in learning them how to interact with their friends and understand, you know, different events that are happening in the world and how they can shape that or how they can process it. Because I feel like giving them those life skills and those humanity skills are going to far outweigh anything that we do in the classroom. Now, that being said, I do think you should learn how to serve the story, and you need to learn how to slate. You need to learn how to break down a script. But more importantly than that, you need the balance of learning how to just be a good human.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to add that on there. I want to make it very clear because I just filled out the union survey. I don't know if you saw the union survey that came out.
I did.
Yeah, I was just filling that out. And a lot of the stuff that came out from like my answers is talking about how the more that we just try to get people, because we want to have more life experience people on sets and putting them on set kind of diminishes how much hard work acting actually is. And I think that it's a good reminder that you do need training.
Yeah.
You can't, like, there's amount of natural talent in everyone. Some you love more, some you love less, but natural talent only gets you so far. You need training.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a science and a math behind it. And, you know, I think for a lot of us, especially in the early stages of development, whether you're a child or an adult, in the early stages of development, I think there's this perception that it's about being really confident and really outgoing and knowing how to smile or cry. And in truth, it's none of that. It's being able to understand how human interactions work and how, you know, common sense isn't always commonplace and how to be engaged, not engaging. Mm-hmm. You're not puppets. You're not up here, you know, dancing to some sort of, you know, musical instrument. You're up here recreating the human experience so that we can view it through you. And I think it's really important. And I do think that it's okay to teach kids at that level. I mean, I've taught lots of kids at that level where, you know, my oldest daughter, when she was younger, she was 4 or 5 years old and she already knew how to, you know, ground her emotions and settle herself and reset it when she felt anxiety. And that was a great life skill. And, you know, partly she got it through us at the school and partly she got it through her own elementary school.
Yeah, every single one of my classes has exactly the same warm-up from adult to children. I just have a slightly different tone of my voice when I explain it. And usually for adults, I'll play a guided meditation. Sometimes I'll guide the kids' meditation, so it's not as like weird sounding. But every kid that's kind of come through, I find that it is really cool that schools have add more meditation for kindergarten. They're like, oh, I haven't done this since kindergarten. I'm like, wow, you have meditation in kindergarten? That's dope.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's really cool because you can't step into someone else's shoes until you're fully grounded in your own. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of get lost because they don't realize that you can't be someone else unless you know who you are.
For sure. And even then, you know, you got to find the part of you that's in that somebody else. And I think that if we encourage, you know, kids or adults, just new actors in general, to don't feel the need to be consumed by the craft and don't feel the need to be consumed by only hanging out with actors and only doing mm-hmm. acting things, I think that there's a lot of value in diversifying your skill sets and diversifying your friend groups and just really becoming students of society and humanity and you know, learn to be mindful. You know, read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. Any of these sorts of ideas are more applicable in my mind for the beginner actor than a lot of the beginner actor books. Like they're fantastic.
Like, be a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Because the jack of all trades, master of none, but the whole line is jack of all trades, master of none, but better at most.
Right.
Better than most at most things.
Something
like
really
that.
I'm really bad at saying.
Yeah. So if you heard that, that's some wisdom for you.
Which we, you know, disclaimer, we don't promise wisdom on this podcast.
No, we
that's
never
always
have.
A bonus. Yeah. That's
absolutely.
We're not going to start now. We're no, not going to start
we're
now.
We're just two pals.
I guess, yeah. We're just a couple of actors who like to, you know, who have a lot of work-life balance. You know, like we both got our
do we?
Well, maybe not. Maybe not as much as we should. You know, we've both got, you know, life partners and mm-hmm. we each have our own cat and I got some kids and we got regular human things
got
we
some
do.
Guinea pigs.
A couple of guinea pigs. I got some gerbils. So, you know, we
you
got
hockey, cheerleading.
Hockey, cheerleading, but a lot of balance. And I think it's really important to remember that because, you know, I think sometimes it can be really easy to be chasing, you know, this elusive benchmark. And I can tell you, as somebody who's hit some of those benchmarks, once you get them, they don't feel like you think they'll feel all the time. And I know that many of us are seeking validation. Like, I want to book my first paid gig. I want to have my first recurring role on a show. I want to have my first, I want to have being flown to shoot something out of the country or whatever it may be. And there's a lot of cool things, and I won't mm-hmm. lie, many of them are really cool things, but not one of them ever filled my bucket. Not one of them ever made me feel like, oh, now I've made it. Like, yeah. I still feel the same insecurity I felt at like 16 that I feel today in terms of, oh, I wonder when that, and part of me thinks, oh, I think it's always supposed to feel not empty, but it's supposed to feel like there's room for growth.
Yeah. I feel like there's this YouTuber, her first name is Kat. I can't remember her last name. And she was an actor in Vancouver for a long time. And I always, before I was really in the industry, I watched her videos a lot and I took yeah. what she was saying as like law. And then she recently moved back to Australia and then she had a divorce and then she just made a video talking about where she actually was at.
Oh, okay.
And all the videos that she made, she said that she actually like wasn't sure what she was doing. She hated it. She, her life, she felt like she couldn't do anything else but acting because if she did anything else, then she'd miss out on acting. And she made a really good video about how like, it's just a good reminder to not just believe everything that your friends are posting on Instagram about acting.
Well, yeah, that's a big point, actually.
Yeah.
We got to be really careful about that. You know, it's been a problem for the whole world, but we have to be really careful with what we see online in terms of what we believe and what we think and the lives we think other people are living.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, it's not a real existence. And trying to live up to those other lives or even your own life that you may be posting, it's really difficult and potentially dangerous. And, you know, I don't know where yeah. things are going. We're seeing more and more people leaving social media these days, so
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't really know where it's going.
I don't know where it's going either.
I think that it is really interesting because I find that, and I'm when I say this, I'm not diminishing the success of booking student films or anything like that. I find there's been times where I've been like really down on myself because like I just heard a bunch of no's, and then I log on to Facebook and I see like someone's like, I just got my 8th booking of the month, and I'm like, holy crap, you're making so much money. How are you doing this? And then like, it's all student films, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But it's just a good reminder to like step back and be like, oh, well, I also booked a bunch of student films. I just didn't post about them kind of thing. And then just kind of think about, which posting about is totally fine. I'm just trying to word it in a way where it's kind of like,
hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
Actors like, just know that like some people post more than others. And your successes might, if you posted your successes, I'm sure that there'd be someone else saying that what you're doing is amazing.
I would say one of the reasons I got into acting at an early age is I love the fact that it made people think. And I love the fact that when I did something, it created an instinct. It was like a catalyst for people to feel things or to think things or reflect on things. And it's a very addictive thing. That's what I gravitated to early. And then I got lost in it early and believed some of my own hype and booked a couple really cool things. And all of a sudden, you know, you have like fans and all this craziness. And then you feel like, oh my gosh, there's validation. But at the same time, like I'm actually really uncomfortable with the word fans. Like I'd prefer to say these are just friends who like what I like. I don't know.
I find that I tried to bring this up when we had Diane on. I thought it was really interesting how there, again, with the different tiers of actors, I feel like there's this tier of actors in Vancouver where you have to be posting about every audition you have. You have to post every time that you have another meeting. But then when you actually look at like professional actors who are known for acting, they don't really post that kind of stuff.
No.
They post more of their life. And I think that that's what I kind of like to emulate. Like,
yeah.
Then, like, I feel like I don't need to post every single time that I'm taping this or that I'm like have a table read. Totally. Like, I can see myself, like, if we actually got to have our table read in a room, like, sure, take a picture of everyone together. But I don't think you need to post every single thing.
No, you know, that maybe is where some of the life balance comes in, you know, like in hockey, we have a saying, like, if you score a goal, act like you've done it before.
Yeah.
You know, like, because, you know, even in beer league hockey, every once in a while, you'll have somebody who, you know, they're throwing their gear all over the place. And, you know, you would have thought they just won the Stanley Cup. And they're like, you're still losing 8-3 in a Div 16 hockey game.
Yeah.
Like, just act like it's what you're supposed to do.
Like, celebrate your successes and for sure post what you're doing if you post your everyday life. Like, I've posted after I've taped auditions sometimes. And then I think about like, oh, shoot, if I posted that one, I wonder if people think this is my only audition I've had because I haven't posted my last six.
Right.
Like, that kind of thing. So, I don't know. Post whatever you want to post. Your Instagram is your Instagram, but I think that it should show that you're also living life a little bit.
Yeah, I would just, you know,
having some mad vocal fry today.
Yes. I'm sitting here with Sydney Kardashian.
Yeah.
So, no, it's, you know, I would say, far be it for me to judge anybody on anything. So it's, you do whatever you do and whatever makes you happy. I would just, you know, I think we're getting lots of reminders throughout the universe that we have to be careful about what we believe on social media. But I also think it's really important, you know, now more than ever, as the world continues to become more divided and we get more and more lost and in the social media and becoming more and more aware of its dangers, that we become really acutely aware of, like, let's not live in those false realities. And, you know, we need to go back, like we said, to have experiences. And, you know, the world's going to open up in a few months again. And hopefully everybody starts, you know, my plan is I'm going to play some board games. I'm going to listen to music with friends. I'm going to have bottles of wine with friends. I'm going to, you know,
we're gonna have themed parties.
I'm going to, you know, I'm gonna go to the beach and have a picnic, reflect on world events and where the world is and how we can make a difference or what world we want to be a part of. And, you know, I think it's really important. And I think it's important for people to do that of all ages. And I think we have that not only opportunity, but responsibility as storytellers. This is the most powerful force in the universe. This is how we shape society. This is how we build rules and laws. This is how we educate. This is how we entertain. And I think that if we get too caught up in our own sense of value, or our own sense of worth, or our own, I guess, tests of what a society should look like, it becomes very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should be reflections of society instead of the steering wheel for society. And I think the more and more we do that, the more opportunity we create for people to evolve ideas, to unify, to just find more purpose and more happiness and more value.
Yeah. That was a lot.
That was a lot. That was a lot of feelings.
Yeah, they were pent up. I completely agree with all of them.
Yeah.
I just was trying to find what part of that to comment on.
Yeah.
That was great. Great.
Do you want me to tell, you want to say, can I share some more books then?
Yeah, share some books.
Okay.
Oh, wait, really quickly.
Yeah.
I want to comment on the Instagram thing one more time.
Sure.
I think that one thing that might help is a lot of people in Vancouver have, like, you even have it actually, actor Michael Coleman.
Yeah, I did. Narcissistic.
But like even just having your
I
name.
can't.
I know you can't,
I
but
have like the
like,
most common name in the history of common
yeah.
names. Like there are 500 million Michael Colemans. It took me 20 years on IMDb before I was allowed to be Michael Coleman because they're like, there's too many Michael Colemans. You have to be somebody else.
But I think that makes sense. Like for you have a reason, but I think that there's a lot of people who are like fresh out of high school and have never done anything
Sure.
acting-wise, and that'd be like if I had actor Sydney Quinnell 6 years ago because I booked a Shakespeare play. Like I think that that would be, it's just like different.
Yeah.
Like I think that because with you, people are Googling actor Michael Coleman when they're trying to find you. And so
Right.
they find you that way. Like if people were Googling me, they would probably just search my name because I don't, there's no one else in my last name.
Yeah. And you can just call me. You don't have to Google me. You can just call me or come by. Well, not right now because we're in a
Global
pandemic.
pandemic.
But outside of that, call me and we'll have some coffee or some tea or I don't know.
Bubble tea.
Bubble tea's opening up right next door. So if you don't come by for that, you're crazy because that stuff is amazing. So again, the heart and soul of what we're trying to do here today is we just really wanted to reiterate and lock down something that we feel a lot of appreciation for. And again, maybe that's where this comes down to is just finding your appreciation and trading your expectations for appreciations so that you can find a little bit of balance and a little bit of happiness. And, you know, don't measure your success by whether you've booked a role or whether you have the right age or whether you're being seen by this casting director, just are you a part of a journey where you're doing what you want to do? Are you getting a chance to learn about stories? Are you getting a chance to audition for these stories? Are you getting a chance to really, you know,
Chill out.
yeah, and just reflect and communicate with other like-minded individuals that understand the coolness and the joy of professional storytelling? I think it's a really cool way to make a living, but also just a really cool way to spend your days.
Yeah, before you start recommending some more books, I'd like to recommend an app.
Okay.
Not a sponsor. Insight Timer is a really great app. There's a free version. There's over 80,000 guided meditations or
Right.
music that you can choose from there. And there's ones that are like shower meditation. So if you don't have time to meditate, put it on. It's a 6 minute shower meditation.
Sure.
So there's just like times for you to just, because I know a lot of people have trouble meditating because they don't want to just sit there with their own thoughts. So if
Yeah.
you do a guided meditation, they're like, okay, think about this. Now think about this. And then just give yourself time to just like breathe.
Yeah.
And I recently got back into meditation, and when I did it, I just like cried for like 20 minutes afterwards.
Were
And
you
I
cutting
did,
onions?
no,
It was just an emotional thing.
well, I didn't even feel like it was emotional. I just felt like I had so much
Sure.
tension.
Yeah.
And like even when it's like relax your shoulders, I was like, oh crap. Like I didn't realize how tense that was.
Sure.
And then I didn't feel like I did it right before I responded to someone's comment on my post.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll respond to that after I watch this video. And it ended up being guided meditation. And then I was like, I don't even feel like I need to respond anymore.
My new
So
thing on
it.
social media is I respond to everybody, but then I delete it before I hit send. Then I feel like I did it, but then I don't have
That's
to
going to
do
go
it.
really bad for you because I just know you're going to accidentally press send.
Yeah, maybe I should start writing it down on
Because I just
paper.
remember an argument you had one time when you accidentally sent the smiley faces.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did have an argument, and then it was the wrong time. And then I sent an emoji where it was like a winky
He's like,
face with the
eh.
tongue sticking out. And it was like, I can't undo that. That was the
No,
wrong response in the
it was
middle of an
sent.
argument.
Yeah, it was like our working relationship is over.
Yeah, that was, yeah. So, yeah, be careful. Those buttons are big. Dangerous, dangerous. Okay,
Okay,
couple
I'm
books.
gonna.
All right, a couple of books. So a couple of books that I've also found some great joy in. The Alchemist, Life of Pi. There's a book called Water. It's just a great book about why we need to drink water. The War of Art, The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And he has, I think, four books in that series. They're all super short motivational books on just, I guess, converting your external motivation into internal motivation. I really, really highly recommend Stephen Pressfield, Malcolm Gladwell, The Tipping Point, or like anything by Malcolm Gladwell, another good Canadian kid. I think he's living in New York right now, but He's got some really cool stuff out there. But again, a lot of these are, like I said, you know, the Freakonomics, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I even like the Tony Robbins Unlimited Power kind of stuff, or, you know, any of these different things that just help. I like Brené Brown, anything by Brené Brown, or, you know, Glennon Doyle, or there's a lot of really great books out there right now that are just about, you know, seeing the world through a different paradigm and having a better understanding of not only other people, but yourself. On top of that, now to get out of that, I've started trying to watch movies that are from different paradigms. And mm-hmm. even when I don't like the movie, I can mm-hmm. still find myself appreciating the need for us to see movies like through different lenses, like Booksmart. I hated it. I think it's not well done. And I know that's not a popular opinion. It's not because of the content. It's just, I think it's poorly done.
I'm going to speak on this for one moment because I've been dying to talk about
all this. All right.
Okay. I saw on Reddit the other day, somebody made a post that was very similar to your thoughts on Booksmart.
Yeah.
And in it, they're like, I really thought this was going to be like super bad for young women.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. But that's not what it is. It's not Superbad for young women. You can't compare it to Superbad. Superbad is its own great, funky, little quirky film. Everyone thinks that Superbad's like this party film, but really the humor in it and everything, it's very quirky. It's very Juno. It's very like art housey in a weird way.
Okay, but I gotta qualify this. I didn't want it to be Superbad for girls or something like that. Like I thought a lot of the characters were cartoony, two-dimensional. I thought a lot of the subplots weren't paid off.
I feel like they were less two-dimensional than every other woman in a teen movie.
Yeah, I agree. But that's like what I said. Like, I actually thought the two young ladies who played the leads mm-hmm. were fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought they were amazing. I thought a lot of the supporting cast was unfortunately cartoon characters. Like, they weren't believable. Like, they were, you know, They were boring, predictable.
Everything has to be amazing. Like
it doesn't.
To All the Boys I Loved Before, not great.
Don't know that movie.
They're the some of the biggest Netflix originals right now.
Oh.
And they shot here.
Oh, nice.
Three of them. Yeah.
Huh.
And that caused a lot of controversy recently.
Did it?
They asked for like a ton of Korean background because a scene takes place in Korea.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people thought that like, it was with Chris and Kara, I think they were casting it.
Sure.
And everyone's like, these are a scam. And it's like, no, Chris and Kara obviously aren't a scam.
No, they're two of the best people, like best human beings in our industry. Not only an amazing casting director, like really know their creative stuff.
Yeah. It might not have been Chris and Kara, but I think it was, I feel like.
Well, you're getting a big shout out anyways,
Chris and Kara.
Great. You're great at what you do.
But everyone was like, they're a scam. Nobody asks for your age. And it's like, yes, they do. If you're under the age of 18, oh my gosh. But another topic for another day.
Yeah. But even here, like what I like about this, so Sid, you clearly like Booksmart.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I watched it on an airplane. Like I'm not like.
Yeah. I didn't like it, but I didn't like it for the reasons that people want me to not like it. I work as a screenwriter. I thought as a script, I thought it was bad.
I think that there's some really good scenes that I've seen a lot for demo reels.
But which is great. But to me, that's not a great movie.
Like, I don't think I've ever watched it. I'm going to watch it soon of actually sitting down and watching it
because
I
never watch any movie and say.
Rather than like having a glass of wine on a plane. Like that's a very different.
But it's also like to watch a movie and be like, not a great movie, but good for demo reels. Like for me, when I watch a movie, I want to get lost in it.
Well, no, I watched it on a red eye. So I was like.
Sure, fair enough.
Like,
and in all honesty, I actually didn't hate it. I enjoyed it.
Okay, you came in to the reel when you said, I hated Booksmart.
I hated the first 10
And then
minutes.
You didn't even watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I hated the first 10 minutes and I turned it off. And then I watched it again and watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, I really like the performances of the two leads. I liked some of the direction and some of the cinematography, but I wasn't a fan of the script.
Well, can I say that's gonna rock your world?
Sure.
I don't like Good Will Hunting.
That's insane.
I know.
That's like saying I hate water.
Because I rewatched.
Everybody
it.
Likes water.
I used to love it, and then I rewatched it, and because of so many freaking acting classes, I was like. Oh,
is it bad?
Ugh.
Like, I haven't seen it in a long time. Maybe it's bad. I don't know.
So Toby Marks, one of the teachers here, in her scene study class, like each class basically has one scene from Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible acting. But really when you watch it all, you're like, Okay. Like, come on. Like, are you just gonna
Oh, this is going to get so awkward. For those of you not just listening to this on Anchor, Matt Damon's standing behind her right now. This is going to get, no, he's not right here. Wouldn't that be crazy though? You'd feel so embarrassed if you said that.
I would
What if we had
say,
Matt Damon
and
here
then I would
right
have
now?
Ashton Kutcher come in and be like, "You're fucked."
Yeah, okay, fair enough, fair enough.
like I said, I like Good Will Hunting, but I don't like it. Like, I think that it deserves some hype, but I feel like there's a lot of those movies where it's just like it's so aggressively actor, actor, actor in a weird way that it's just like we can find new movies to talk about in
Well,
2021.
let me go back to Booksmart. Let me say this about Booksmart. What I loved about Booksmart is it really, I feel like I have shifted or I've elevated or evolved the way I will look at scripts now. Like I saw a different need and a different lens for different people that I feel like, oh, yeah, like as a straight white male, so much is made for me. It's so easy to just be like, oh yeah, that's what movies are. But when I saw this, I'm like, oh, that wasn't written for us at all. And oh my God, we gotta stop just writing stuff for straight white men. This because there's so many other voices in this
You're
world.
getting it.
Yeah, for sure. But I needed to be hit in the face with it. I just wish it was a better
Well, that's
movie.
why, like, the first time you said that, I was like, it's not made for you,
For sure.
and which is fine.
But even then, like I'll give you a movie that probably wasn't made for me either. Bad Moms. Bad Moms is one of the best
But
movies I've
the
ever
thing
seen.
is that
It's so
it
good.
was made for, Bad Moms was still made for like 40 something white woman,
Sure.
which, like, you're not
You're
far
overestimating my estrogen.
off.
I am
Okay, that's what
effeminate.
I'm saying. You're not, it's not that far off.
But it's
So it's
still
still
like
your
it, but
demographic.
it's, well, ish, ish,
Ish.
ish.
But it's something you'd watch with like Michelle, his wife.
There's a lot of layers to that.
What are we talking about? Balance.
Balance.
But we can
Now,
talk about movies. Movies is part of
sure, all I'm
balance.
saying is that even some of the movies that I'm trying to expose myself, I saw a really interesting Swedish movie called Midsommar, which is supposed to be scary. I didn't find it
It's
scary at
not
all.
scary.
No, it's not scary at all. But I also really found it fascinating.
It's a
I'm
movie about
actually.
a toxic
For
romance.
sure. And some of my favorite films are Korean films. There's a lot of really cool Korean films out there that I'm really fascinated by. And I'm just going back to our work-life balance thing. And I know we talked about don't just talk about industry and acting, but if you are going to talk about it, I would also say take a chance and start diversifying some of the stuff you see. There's a really cool Korean film called Volcano High. The first 5 minutes of it'll blow your mind. It'll absolutely make your brain explode. It is that much awesome. So there's a lot of stuff out there that I just think, as actors that, I encourage people to go back to and think about why you got started and what you want to be and what you want to do.
I really need you to watch BoJack Horseman. Audience
I
and Michael.
really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd like it.
You're not gonna like the first season.
Probably not.
No, but it's like it really shows that you need a work-life balance.
But I also, this is all, so I work in this town as an acting coach, as an actor for 30 years. This is why it's also really never, it's important to never put any of us on pedestals or over escalate us. I hate Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I hate it. And I know as an
Yes.
actor, I'm not allowed to. As an
Yep.
actor, you have to love that movie. I find it so
Well, that's like No
self-inflating.
Country for Old Men.
I love that movie.
Like, it's okay. Like, it's good, but it's slow for zero reason. Like,
Yeah, that's
the
fair.
coin flipping scene, stop putting it in your demo reels, teenage boys. It's not,
That's
you're just not
fair.
your
That's fair.
demographic.
That's fair.
Do you know how many demo reels I've watched where like guys on background on set were like, "Oh, what? I just did this scene from No Country for Old Men." I'm like, great. You know what? I
Right.
didn't even really like it the first time I saw it. And
Right.
when it was the best version of it, you're
That's
not gonna make it any
fair.
better.
So we've spun this right back into talking all about industry type stuff, but that's also fair and fun. But I'd also say it's okay to talk about it for the reasons we're talking about it, and don't let all your conversations get absorbed into, are you auditioning? What are you auditioning for? My agent hasn't got me up for anything. I'm not going up for anything. Is it my agent? Is it me? Is it this? Is it that?
You're putting that energy into the world.
Yeah. So just, you know, enjoy the art. Enjoy the fact that you're in this industry that is magical and you get to be in a community of people that's, you know, it's an international community. I've had the pleasure of working with people all around the world. And what I love is that whenever you work with somebody from a different part of the world or whatnot, we all sort of had a lot of stuff in common. And it's almost like you're meeting a cousin or a sibling you haven't seen in a couple of years. And there's just a welcoming, inviting vibe to that.
I would say that us talking about movies, though, in the way that we're talking about it right now, I think is really interesting. And it goes with the work-life balance. And just because you don't need to like every actory movie because it's actory.
Right.
You don't need to, like, honestly, there's times when you're like, wow, that's good acting. If you step out and you say, wow, that's good acting while you're watching it, it might not be. It might not be because you were taken out of the performance enough to say, wow, that's good acting.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to throw you a couple really good ones then since we're doing this. Joan Cusack in the movie In and Out from years and years and years ago with Kevin Kline. Brilliant. Emma Thompson's performance in Love Actually when she finds out that Alan Rickman is cheating on her with the CD. You watch that. That's an acting class. It's not a scene. That's an acting class.
Speaking of just like one small scene.
Yeah.
The Christmas movie Noel on Disney Plus. It's just a fun, fluffy movie. There's a Craig March is the cop in it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hey, Craig,
I wasn't expecting that. And I was watching at a Christmas party and I was like, Craig!
Cool.
Yeah, it was quite fun. And he's very funny in the movie. And it's with Anna Kendrick.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I feel like
she's
seen
the
this.
Elf. But there's one scene where it's just like this girl who is deaf. And with her mom, and it's a very short scene, very small characters, probably booked out of Vancouver, probably a Vancouver actor. They're like waking up in like this like home for homeless people kind of thing, she's just like half asleep and is like saying thank you to Noel for bringing stuff for Christmas.
Yeah,
and I rewatched that scene like 8 times because I was like, oh my god, this acting is so good, because I really believe that was her daughter. She was deaf, and it felt like they just took these people off the street, and it's like the movie stopped for a moment, showed real people. Like, it was so crazy how good it was.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And she said like 5 lines, but it just felt like a real person.
Huh.
It was weird. Like, I don't know why it stood out to me so much. I think about it all the time.
And it was shot here.
Yeah. I don't know who that is. I need to find them on.
Nice. Big shout out to Craig March. Fantastic local actor.
Oh yeah.
Brilliant actor. Also,
stuck for me when I was bullied once.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think he's also teaching at Capilano now or something now.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you get a chance to work with Craig, you're
and
very
new
lucky.
New Image, I think, still.
Is he still at New Image as well? Yeah. Fantastic actor and great guy. So, yeah. But again, let's not focus entirely on the craft or what auditions we're going for, things like that. Our advice, I guess, to you today and what we wanted to just sort of touch base on early is, you know, expand your mind. Read different books. You don't have to tell everybody about it. You don't have to post it on your social media if you don't want to. You don't have to scream it to the heavens. Just feel free to go be a human being. Go get muddy. Go learn how to do archery. Go play a video game. Read a book.
I would say, like, don't be on Instagram so much that every couple weeks you have to post on your story like, hey guys, I'm taking a break from social media for 24 hours. If you find that you're having to say, I'm taking a break on social media for 24 hours.
Yeah.
I take breaks from social media for 24 hours all the time by accident.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing that, then that's when you should really step away for a little while.
And for sure.
Have some time for yourself and find out.
I get hacked and deleted enough that I take breaks for longer periods of time. That's not self-inflicted. Sometimes the universe just, is cruel.
That's a good quote. Not that one. Not the universe is cruel.
The universe is cruel.
But,
the new hashtag.
If you don't take a break, your body will make you.
Yeah.
If you don't take a break, the universe will make you.
Yeah.
So you just have to take a break sometimes.
But yeah, so, you know, for you new actors out there or you kids, I guess if we were to leave you with a last message here is, you know, if this is something you're serious about, you should take it serious too. You should train with people who have a history of getting the results you want to have, or have them themselves, even more importantly, and you should be making their habits your habits. Mm-hmm. At the same time, without choosing one or the other, you should also explore all your other passions. Play a sport, pick up an instrument, go just sit with your friend and listen. Go to your grandparents' house and just let them tell you a story. Mm-hmm. They are these wealth of value, these incredible stories and these incredible storytellers that have so much time and so much heart.
Call your family,
spend time with friends. And when the world opens up again, you know, we all buckled down and, you know, we went through the whole Netflix library and, you know, we played enough video games and Roblox to last a lifetime. You know, take a walk. Remember what the world smells like. Go for lunch with a friend. Go eat a messy taco. Just go do something real. And just, you know, put the phone away. Don't take a picture of it. Don't mm-hmm. post it. Just let the moment be the moment. You know,
like, romanticize your own life.
Yeah. Our whole thing as actors is that, you know, we're supposed to live in the moment and be present. And I find it really interesting that so many of us have lost that. Like, it's literally the thing we're looking to do. When we say behave truthfully under imaginary circumstances, mm-hmm. another way to say that is to just be present in the moment. And yet, we're finding so many times we're spending so much time on set taking selfies or posting on Instagram or hashtagging what we've booked or haven't booked, or, you know, you're not living in the moment. You're not giving yourself that opportunity to really experience this beautiful craft at its fullest. And I do it, so I'm not judging you. I'm the same.
Yeah, have fun, but know when you have to, like, hunker down and get stuff done.
Yeah.
Like, you should really... I saw this comment recently on this post of my agent had made a post about how, like, you guys need to stop sending in. I don't do this. You need to stop sending in auditions late because I can't submit it for
sure.
you. And then someone underneath it had commented that they always tried to wait to the last minute to send it in. So it shows the casting director that you worked longer on it.
Yeah.
And I commented on it and I was like, no. Because I said that you should try to get done within 24 hours. If you can, you should have enough training that you can look at a script and break it down, and you shouldn't need more than that length of time, really, once you've mm-hmm. been trained enough. And then they said that if you send it in within 24 hours, then you look like you haven't worked hard enough on it. But I think that you just need more training.
I would also say, you know, I think we have a lot of really insanely cool casting directors in this town. Mm-hmm. And when they invite us in, they've already assumed we're going to work smart and hard on it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they've ever put me through a purity test in terms of, are you working hard or smart? By the very fact that they've given me the invitation, I think that there is an implicit understanding that I will work hard and smart.
Yeah.
And the only thing I want to do is I don't want to impress you or show you that I'm working hard or smart. I think that's a safe assumption on both our sides that I have. I just want to always be a positive reflection of you. So I stay sharp, I mm-hmm. stay focused, and I stay disciplined. So, and I stay balanced so that when I do get an audition,
yeah.
it can reflect the human experiences we all have, and I can behave truthfully under imaginary circumstances.
Obviously, don't get your audition done fast if you can't.
Yeah.
If you're not ready for that, take your 2 weeks
if
that's how long you somehow have for this audition. But if the audition is due in 3 days and you just, like, your hair is done and you
yeah.
can break down the script in like 2 hours max, do it.
I'd also say if you can't break your audition down in a day, you don't have enough training yet. And that doesn't mean that you should punish yourself or, you know, go outside in 40 lashes, but it means that you need to get sharper.
Especially in Vancouver where they're shooting full-length films in 9 days.
Yeah.
You need to be able to break a scene down
well,
quickly.
Not only that, but if you, heaven forbid, you get a direction on set, if you took it you 2 weeks to learn the first time, I mean, how much time do you think you're going to get if they say, can we try it differently? You're gonna find that you have less than 48 hours. You got 48 seconds. Like, let's mm-hmm. let's get this done. So, I don't know. Find the balance. Work smart. If you work smart, you don't have to work long, but also enjoy life. If we learned anything from the last year, it should just be how precious life is.
And to take a break.
And how much we enjoy the human experience and how much we miss the human experience. Mm-hmm. So go have one and then understand that as storytellers, it's it's our job to help people experience those same things through us. So it's a big responsibility and also a tremendous honor. So I think it's important that we do that and respect that.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And next week we'll throw something else at you. If you have any questions or if you'd like either Sydney or myself to answer anything specifically, you can reach us at michaelcoleman@storyinstitute.ca. And we're happy to answer any questions live on air. And if you have any things you'd like us to cover, any topics, we're always happy to do so. And, you know, we've been talking to some exciting new guest stars that'll come through after the next few months has passed. And stay hungry, stay safe, be kind, and keep enjoying this really cool journey we're on. It's an honor to be a part of this Vancouver community and the different people here. It's some of my favorite people in the world, in cast and crew, are all here in Vancouver. And so just keep working smart, keep your balance, and keep smiling.
Some takeout.
Get some takeout and help the local communities. You know, everybody could use a little help right now, but you know, we get to help educate and entertain, and let's be a part of that.
Yeah. Train, and take a break.
So, thanks for listening or watching, depending on how you're taking us in today. And, we'll see you next week.
And we hope to see you on set.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.